The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Be greatly blessed as you are impacted by this powerful word of God from Christ Way Ministries International. May the eyes of your understanding be enlightened as you experience the power in the word of God. God bless you.
I'm sharing with us effective discipleship for church health and growth. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the promise that you have given that can never fail, that you will build your church and the gate of hell will not prevail against it. We thank you for the opportunity you have given us to be partakers of that noble and that very significant assignment, asking us to go and bear fruit. Today, as we hear this word, let it mix with faith in our hearts. It shall not be as if we have been hearing it before. Let it create new passion in us and make us to do what you want us to do. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for the opportunity given me to share this message. And it's a practical session. This is not something we will just learn here. We will do well after listening to this message to have a work plan how we're going to put it to practice. I must admit that what we're going to share can be overwhelming, can be very challenging, can look like it's too deep for us to handle, but we should start somewhere. When we talk about discipleship is the core strength of this ministry. That is where we started, and that is where we can continue to grow. If we continue to lose track of discipleship, we will soon become nominal. And I pray we will not be nominal in Jesus' name. We have always said to ourselves, Christ Way Ministries is not a club. It's not a gathering of just people of like mind and then we don't grow. But let me ask us, every Sunday or often you get newcomers in the church. But when you now take the statistics, you discover that the number may not actually be growing, or the number may even be dropping. Now, when you look at some of our members that have been coming along with us for some time, you're also worried that they seem not to have the quality, they seem not to have the strength that we thought should be there. Something is missing. What we're sharing now is not something to be done in a jiffy. It's not something that is just a quick fix. It takes time to build disciples. And if we don't build disciples, we are certainly not having a strong church. Anything can just happen and you lose them. So I want us to pay close attention. There are scriptures that are very relevant, that we have read over and over again. But as it's in the key verse, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit will remain." Your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. So what is in the mind of our Lord Jesus Christ is that every believer, every church must bear fruit. The fruit can be of three kinds, but I'm going to talk about building more souls. It can be building spiritual fruits, like fruit of the Spirit. It can be bearing some other kind of fruit, but I'm going to use this to look at bearing soul for Christ. And by way of introduction, let me say that bearing fruits adding souls to the body of Christ. And let me be very particular. Adding souls to your church, adding membership to your church, is one way that you can make the church to be very active, that can make the church to be very healthy, and allow the church to continue to grow. This is why Jesus said, look, he said, I have called you and I've chosen you that you should go and add more. You cannot remain where you are. We should add more souls. And he said we should go to all the worlds and make disciples. Jesus did not ask us to build members. Jesus said we should make disciples. There is a large difference between just having members and having disciples. So what we're focusing on is to make disciples. Who are disciples? What is the difference between a disciple and an ordinary church member? This we will see as we go on. Now, the scheme that we want to learn or we want to re-emphasize today can actually be compared to when you have a baby in the house. When somebody just gives birth to a baby and say, ah, thank God, oh, Pastor Koya has a baby, everybody will come and greet. But how many of them will remain for 1 week? At best, after naming ceremony, they all disappear. So, it's the same way that it happens in spiritual birth. And I want us to look at it closely. After those people have left, close relations may still be around and come once in a while. But within 1 year, the baby is left with the mother and the father. And they continue to nurture that baby. And we also understood that after 3 years, there are certain things that baby should know. And finally, by the age 7, whatever you have not imparted into that baby, forget it. And those things are going to replay when that baby grows up, even as an adult. Some of the values that we have failed to impact during the early ages will begin to show forth. Some of the qualities that we have allowed the baby to, you know, imbibe wrongly at that tender age, when the baby grows up, it's going to play back. You know, Paul said, when I was a child, I behaved like a child. But when I grew up, I must put childishness away. There is a child in everybody. And in every believer, there is that first beginning. So, making disciples is very much analogous, very much similar to building baby in the house. I will explain as we go on. Now, when we have successfully produce disciples, it goes through stages. Just like the way you also have a baby built in the house. Making disciples, therefore, is not something that we just come and run programs. Hello? Disciple making is not a program. It's not something you run through, like, okay, you go through 3 months, 6 months, then you're a disciple. It doesn't happen like that. It's an association. It's a lifestyle that has to be impacted into that person. So I will go through this process. And as we have taught over and over again, this process consists of four levels. Four levels. What I want you to note as we are going through are the assignments. Some of the assignments Pastor Akin already mentioned when we were going through. The first level is evangelism. I'm going to use the four E's, four letter E, E for elephant. The first one is evangelism. Now, after evangelism, we go through establishing. Now, after establishing, we go through equipping. Now, number four, then we go through engagement. Now, by the time you go to level three, that is when you will have had a disciple. First level, you just have a convert. Second level, you just still have a member. Until you take that person to the fourth level, then you don't really have a disciple. But by the time you go to the fourth level, then you now have leaders who can take over from you. You will know if a church is not building disciples by the scarcity of leadership. And I think we are facing that. You discover that you need some things to do. It looks like There's nobody to hand over to. There are no pastors. There are no deacons that you can really rely on. Something is missing. We are not building leaders. And if you don't build disciples, you cannot get leaders. So, this is how much important this is. And I'm going to go through it one by one. It's in our booklet, but let us study together. Now, this first stage about evangelism has a lot for us to learn from here. Let us do, first and foremost, an assessment of ourselves. Let's do an assessment of our churches. Evangelism is not just about taking people out to the streets to minister. It also involves the arrangement that we have put in place to make sure that some things are happening and people are engaged in serious evangelism. Sorry, some interference is getting into my... Okay, so now the evangelism, that the way we go about it is that as a church, do we have opportunities for our members to be engaged in evangelism? Do we have opportunities for members to even bring people to church so that they can be part, you can have prospects of getting the disciples? The first part that I have is that you need to engage the church in evangelistic activities. Some of them can be indoor evangelism. Some of them can be outdoors. And what we need to take home as we are going through this study is, what do I need to do in my church to make a big difference? The evangelism can be personal. Okay? You take your church out. Let's ask ourselves, when last did I take my church members out? It doesn't matter whether a soul is won or a soul is not won. When you go out for evangelism, you are building capacity into the members. And also, you may also, even if you don't win a soul, but you may also win a soul in that process. These are things that we have done in the past, and we still need to do them again. There is also need for us to have group evangelism. But what I want to introduce here, more importantly, is that in the church, it is true, as a church, as a ministry, we give you teaching, preaching engagement. Okay, this is the preaching for the month. There must be a Sunday. I'm recommending a Sunday that is an outreach Sunday. Let's say that Sunday, for want of topics, we just say this is a Sunday, where, as I do when I was still pastoring church, is Victory Sunday. That Sunday is not for sermon. That Sunday is for prayer. And the prayer is to focus on people's need. That Sunday is an evangelistic Sunday. When members can invite their friends and say there is a power, a power miracle, there's a ministration, we're just going to look at things that will touch the lives of the people. And when you arrange such a program, it's not that you just do it for the benefits of doing miracles and then demonstrating word of knowledge. You also want to win souls. But what happens is that in that process, your members have opportunities of inviting. I know those days when we do it, we even have cards that we have printed that we give to people and say, well, we're having this special program. We have other similar programs like Friends Sundays. But Friends Sunday is almost becoming a burden, even to some churches. You ask, how many of you have done your Friends Sunday? Your Friends Sunday this year. We have not done our own. We are yet to do it. It's almost looking like it's a burden to the church. But if we look at it as an outreach, now we know that it's going to be an opportunity for me to invite somebody in my workplace, to invite somebody from my street, and say there's a special program. And then you can tell the person, this is not about leaving your church. But let us face it. There are many people who are not going to church. And there are many people who are tired of where they are going to. There are many people whose lives are not being touched. So we need to create that window for members to bring others to the church. Then the second part is that we need to create evangelism teams. And what I mean by this, I'm a believer. I should have not a prayer partner. I need an evangelistic partner. You know, when we're talking about natural births, we say that after they have greeted the parent, everybody went away. Who remains? The father and the mother. If it's a family, that is still staying together, not a single parent. The father and the mother, they are now the one to take care of that baby. So, there must be that talk. And that talk takes two people. So, there must be two people and say, you these two people, you are evangelism teams. Now, those two people, by the grace of God, they will have a child. And what I do is that even if you don't go out for evangelism, somebody came to the church for the first time. It's a prospective convert. And that baby, you know, some people give birth to babies, some people adopt. So when a visitor comes to your church and you have not done evangelism, get two people who are now the parent of that newcomer. These parents are going to adopt that child. So you can also have a baby by adoption. I'm saying this because some are not involved in active evangelism. Don't just let somebody come to church and say, Sister Kike, you are the, what do you call them? Visitation team. And that Kike will visit only one person. He may not even visit some. So as they came, they also went away. And nobody cares. So we need to be able to structure evangelizing new members by creating spiritual parents. And how these spiritual parents will grow. Let's say we have a baby, okay? We are nursing that baby. You are going to nurse that baby for 2 years, not 1 year, for 2 years. Now you get another baby, that's two. That's the maximum. Don't have more than two children. Now those two children, you continue to nurture them. By the time they grow up and become matured, you can win them. That is when they become disciples. But if we are in a rush and we just say, well, let's visit. And after visiting, the person came to church the second Sunday and said he's coming, and then you sit back. I can tell you, in the next few months, it will also disappear. And you will know where that person disappears to. So we need also to create these regenerative evangelism teams. Now, we also need, as a church, to create special outreaches. Pastor Akinrade did mention that. You know, we have ministries within the church, prayers called, choir, all those things. But there are other special outreaches that we need to create so that it becomes a platform for them to learn the work of the ministry. I mentioned some of them here. For example, we may have special evangelism to reach drivers, garage workers. You know, once a month, they visit, reach the unidentified communities. Gospel-based intervention, fellowships, and things like that. So when you have all these special outreaches, there will be a group of people to say, okay, this is what you are facing, apart from whatever they do in the church. If we don't have that, we're going to have nominal congregation. And it'll just be few people getting involved. So people must have where to spend all the spiritual vigor that they have. Now we also need to form outreaches, for example, prison. These are now going out. Schools, villages. So how are we going to use all this? We get to know. Then we also need to institute and put in place some institutional assimilation programs. I don't know when last we had assimilation programs. Every 6 months, there must be assimilation. Those of us who have come for the first time, make such programs very colorful. And use that for opportunities for new members who are not too old to bring their friends to the church. And when you are running that program, it's not just a ceremony. It's going to be an outreach also, where you minister to people so that you can get more souls. Now, that is about evangelism. The next stage we go to, evangelism is just for us to get members. But if the church, as we speak, is not actively involved in evangelism, then get hold of your new members. But I think going away from here, we need to do it differently. Now, the next stage is establishing. At this level, this is the stage for in-depth fellowship. of the converts. This person has just come to know the Lord, and then is going to have an in-depth fellowship in the church. This is a time for you to train the new believer. Let me go with what we are doing, and let me add the bits that I think should be added. When somebody gets to this level, you want to teach the person the basic truths. What we do in the ministry right now is that we have 10 lessons. Okay? Those 10 lessons, when I was over at church, we graduated it to 12. We added baptism. Baptism is not in the 10. Water baptism is the 11th one. Then we added success, prosperity, so that we can teach them about how to make money, how to live. So it made 12. Now, what we then do is that at the level of establishing, somebody goes through lesson 1, 2, 3. When it's going through lesson 1, 2, 3, a teacher handles that person. The importance, he has parents. These parents I call mentors. That is the person you have handed over the person to. It may not be the teacher, but that is the person who takes care of him, who asks about his welfare. That is the person, but that person may not be the teacher. It may also be the teacher. But you now have the classes. As the classes are going on, your child now, your spiritual child, is in class 1, 2, 3. You are the one to ask after that child. How is enjoying the classes? What is going on in the classes? By the time he goes to lesson 4, 5, 6, he will be an intern. In school, you have internship. He will be an intern, for instance, in prayer squad. When you are going through this lesson 4, 5, 6, you are going to be in prayer squad. Everything they do in prayer squad, you must participate. If they are fasting, fast with them. If they say you should come for prayer, go to prayer with them. But you are not yet a member of squad. You are only there for internship. Now, by the time he goes to the next level of lessons, the next 3 lessons, he may join choir. Go with the choir. The only thing they may not do is to buy uniform, but you are learning what they do in the choir. Attend all their activities, attend their programs. The next time, go to ushering. If they are washing toilets, wash toilets with them. But you are not yet a member. Now, what you are doing is that you are exposing this young believer to activities in the church. But if your church does not have special outreaches, because after 10 lessons, what next? And let me say, this is where we are in the ministry. We are still deficient in what Pastor Akinade mentioned. Because when we now go to equipping, we discover that we don't have anything for equipping. But the best we have is establishing. And at the end of establishing, you have not yet created a disciple. You have just created a member. So, if you don't grow them to the level of disciple, they can still drop out. I highlighted something. However, the church, where the church has not established outreach groups, the internship may be deferred till the next stage. If your church does not have outreach group, there's nothing else to engage the member, to engage this new member in. Now, it means after 10 lessons, then he sits back, or he has to go and join a worker group. And that makes a very poor worker. That is where you will find somebody who is not consistent. So 10 lessons is not the end of the road. But if you don't have anything else, there's no hospital to visit, there's no prison to go, there's no village to go, there is no choral group to join, there's no musical group to join, where they learn instruments. So it means after 10 lessons, then it's as good as the pastor, but it's as worse as a young believer. So if you know that your church does not have resources, and I'm speaking as one of you too, as a ministry, we need to develop the kind of thing that is Christian doctrines, which we now need in this stage 3. Stage 3 is equipping. Stage 3 is the time for proper discipleship training scheme. This is where the person now go deeper into spiritual truths. Now, at this level, it's no longer a class arrangement. It's going to be one-on-one. This is where the sponsor, the parents, which this person got at the beginning, now begin to interact one-on-one with that person. It's no longer like going through classes. It's like you take the person, what do you know about maybe predestination? It's no longer a class thing. So you now begin to interact with that person. What does he know about rapture? You know, some doctrines now begin to evolve. The kind of doctrines that looks like hard nuts. So on one-on-one, and I know that as a ministry, we attempted this at a time, you know, we have that sheet, and instead of going through the 10 lessons, I know my wife was with Babonirugma at that time. They would go there one-on-one. Mommy Rioke too, Amejian. They were like the parents to a single person. And then they were teaching and following. Now that establishes a closer relationship with you and the parents. And during this level, the young disciple is now a young disciple, is taking through, you know, and engaging, exploring opportunities. That is when he will discover his gifts. He will need to know a lot of things that God has deposited in him. At the end of this series, the person will have discovered his giftings. He will have discovered where God is really calling him to be useful. And at the end of that program, there can be a special induction ceremony. At that induction ceremony, the person is inducted into the workers' team. So, because he's now qualified to be called a disciple, because he has been taken through stage by stage what he needs to know. So the induction ceremony is to encourage even members of the church who have not taken that route so that they can be involved. Now the person now goes to the next level, which is engaging. That is when you can ask the person, can you lead us in opening prayer? But you see that we try to jump the gun. Somebody came to the church for the first time because we want to encourage him to say, and say, go and read the Bible. Because we want to encourage him to say, give a special number. And the person comes to the altar and he has seen it all and he thinks that it's there. Whereas he doesn't know anything. But by the time he has finished the level of the young discipleship training, which is the equipping, then you can start engaging small by small. We were engaged. I remember the first time that the GO was going to ask me to preach. He gave me a note, prepared notes, and said I should go through it and read it and pray on it and minister. That is when you now start learning the acts of ministry. That is when you can now tell the person, I remember Mrs. In the U.S. now, Mr. Jewale, when he went through this stage and I said, Mommy, you are going to lead the opening prayer. She was a matron. Prayer. I never stood in front of anybody to lead prayer. But they're going to lead the opening prayer. For opening prayer, she came 15 minutes before program, Bible study. And she fasted. Hallelujah. That is why today, when you see her, she will tell you, my pastor, you are the one that taught me how to lead. You know, she didn't take it with, and she had been in church for some time. So, that is when you can tell the person, we are going out to visit. And then the person follows you. How many times Daddy Joe will take us on to visit? And you know, if you follow Daddy Joe those days, the back room will be by 9. Early, my delay till 4 o'clock. Bro, it might be no. Professor, our family can be by. You follow. What are we doing? You are now training the person. This is not something you get on the pulpit. This is not something you get in 10 lessons. So you are now learning the Christian lifestyle. You are now learning the acts of nurturing. You do all that. And I also did that. So the person that came after me, I also gave, go and read this. And the person, I gave the sermon. He preached. And by the time he preached, Pastor Akintade said, Pastor, is that person a pastor before? I'm only anointing him. But he didn't know that anointing has mixed. He just respected that person from that day. But praise God. But if we are not doing this thing, if we are not doing it, you discover that you are not building people. You are not replicating. We are just taking people through programs. It is not organizing evangelism program. And then that is it. No, it's gone beyond that. It is not just organizing, we want a training, a discipleship training. It goes beyond that. Scholars have told us that this process that I've mentioned, as if it's so easy, can take 3 years. The cycle is about 3 years. But we want to build disciples overnight. No, they will not be well cooked. They are not going to be stable. And that is why I say you don't need a multitude. Jesus started with 12, and we are all product of that 12. This preacher in Cameroon, I've forgotten his name now, he was renowned for talking about discipleship. He said, two. Is it a phone? Phono. Phono. He said, what you do is that two of you give back to another two. Those four give back to another set. And he was using geometric progression. And within 3 years, we're going to be so large. There can be some fallout. There can be some fall away. But then you are sure that you're going to get seasoned people. You're going to get people like you. Let me ask you, if you die today, will there be anybody that will be exactly like you? I was excited one day, Pastor Akinade said, somebody, you know, a message was prepared. And he said, Pastor Koya must have prepared that message. But lo and behold, it was not me. It was one of the people that came up alongside with us. So because he has now imbibed the way we do it. So what he was doing was just like the way I did it. Praise God. So if you know how to, if you can pray, you can fast, and there's nobody that's following your footsteps, then you have not succeeded. Jesus took his disciples along. Apart from the teaching, he took them along. Not all the 12. How many of them? 3 of them. He took them along and poured his life into them. And those people were able to replicate what Jesus did for them. I know it looks so easy to say, but it's something that we need to work out. This is not a message that you just hear and say, well, we have heard it. We need to now sit down. And that's the next thing I say, work plan. What is going to be your work plan? How are you going to ensure that we create viable evangelism opportunities? How are we going to ensure that we disciple, you know, we establish people? Even our 10 lesson classes is just like a hamburger, you know. Those of you who are having 10 lessons, please wait after the service. There we are. Let's go. Sometimes you'll be calling, who is teaching the 10 lessons today? It's not me, it's you. It means we are not serious about it. And if we are not serious about it, we are not going to get serious disciples. Okay? So, and giving one person and say, you are the one to teach lesson 1 to 10, is not helping the convert. Because he needs to interact with so many people. He needs to be able to, even if I'm teaching as the 10 lessons, maybe lesson 1 to 3, let there be an assistant. As we do in primary school, the teacher is there, then the class assistant is there. The assistant will be there and then be monitoring what is going on. So the two peer can take lesson 1 to 3, another peer take lesson 3, and so on and so forth. So what is the work plan? That, when you get to equipping, in equipment, we are zero. We're zero. We don't have materials for equipment. And thank God Pastor Akinade mentioned it, and he's also in the Christian education. So all those things he mentioned that are so beneficial for impacting deep doctrinal issues, all those things he mentioned, they are good for us. Adoption, election. But that is not 10 lessons. That is what we need at the level of equipment. Gift of the Holy Spirit. That is what we need at the level of equipment. And when you get to that level, remember, it is not a class discussion. It is one-on-one. Now, if we are not doing, let me come to a weak church. This church doesn't get involved in evangelism. They don't have any activity group. Even the church groups are so disjointed. How do we start from there? Let us start from newcomers. Let us start from newcomers. On Sunday, when you have a newcomer, there is official, follow-up teachers. Or what do we call them? Those who follow up new members. Let them do their work. Visitation units. Let them do their work. Now, when somebody comes up and say he's here for the first time, pray for the person. Don't just say, okay, you're here for the first time. We have seen you. God bless you. Let's see you next Sunday. It doesn't work like that. Bring the person up. Like he said, I've gone through a lot of series of prayers, personal prayers, and I have prayer scriptures. Use a scripture to pray, and God will guide you. Your prayer will touch the need of that person. Now, you can now say, this person is here for the first time. Mr. Solarionye, please come forward. Pastor Akinade, come forward. I'm handing over this soul to you. Take care of this person. And they understand what you are talking about. They become the mentor for that person. The visitation unit will visit and go and visit again. She will visit. Pastor Akinade will visit and begin to ask questions. They will now know the person in total. They can now say, you have to go through 10 lessons. So launch that person to 10 lessons. And you still continue your monitoring. 10 lessons take 10 weeks. Sometimes 20 weeks. Sometimes it can take a whole year. Because today, the pastor will say, we will not be able to have our 10 lessons today. We'll do it next Sunday. Next Sunday, there will not be 10 lessons today. We'll do it upper Sunday. You 10 lessons, people, please don't be annoyed. We are always shifting this thing. I know we are going to do something. God will help us. Amen? You say amen. Is that the way you nurse a baby? But the mentors are there to give support. And after you finish that, they now get this mentor. What do you know about gift of the Holy Spirit? They begin to teach the person. Now, the work plan will also involve. The materials we're now going to use, maybe by the time we finish this retreat, conference, we may now begin to work on advanced material for doctrinal issues. And those materials can then be used by the sponsor to take the person through. So we need to develop a number of things. I want us to close here. I say I have about 6 minutes now, but I want us to close here. And what we're going to do is to pray. This thing does not come by talking alone. Jesus said, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are what? A few. He said, we should pray to the Lord of harvest that we should send what? Laborers into his vineyard. Let me deviate and go to management science. They will tell you in a church, as it happens in every place, only 20% of the church will do most of the work. Others are just numbers. They will be there. But those 20%, we want God to visit them. God to energize them. We are not despising them. They can be useful. But those 20% that are going to work for us, 20% of the church that are going to work for us, let us identify them and then use them to hand over. So at workers' meeting, I can say, Mr. Olarinoye, you know this person is not there. Omota Afoyin, how is he doing? Tomo yen ba ku mo won lowo, a se omo yen ti ku o. Ki lo pa? A re. O de n pe ko serious nkan to ma je lo wa si church. Okay, I'm going to find love on me. Am I a kele itunku? So these are some of the things we need to do at workers' meeting to follow up on the mentors and then be sponsors and be sure that they are doing the work. Omo wa ni ku loruko Jesu. Edide lori eseyin. We're going to pray. Lord, say after me. Lord, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. You, Lord, the Lord of harvest, send laborers into your vineyard. Turn it to prayer in the name of Jesus. Lord, send laborers into your vineyard. Send us people that will do the work. people that are serious for the work. In Jesus' name we pray. We say God should send laborers. You are going to say, Lord, here I am. Send me. Give me one soul. At least one soul that I will nurture from tomorrow. I will nurture until it becomes like me. Turn it to prayer in Jesus' name. If you are good, there should be somebody as good as you are. Give me at least a soul. Give me at least a soul. A soul that I will nurture, that will become as I am. A soul that will follow after my footstep. In the mighty name of Jesus. I cannot do this work alone. Oluwa, send somebody that will go with me. Give me a hand. I want to identify somebody I can work with, that I can nurture a soul with, that we can gather two souls together and bring them to maturity. Father, add souls to us. Give me those souls, so that those souls that you are about to reach, those souls that you are about to bring to yourself, so that together we can bring them to maturity. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Father, we say on this altar, we are tired of just gathering cloud. We are just tired of people that will come and go. We need souls that will abide. Souls that we can bring to the kingdom of God. Add them to us in the mighty name of Jesus. We have seen that we also have assignments as pastors. We have assignments as a church. We have assignments as a ministry. Lord, we are too old to be talking of yet developing materials. But Lord, give us grace that we develop them. Give us grace that we develop them. This is our 30th year. Father, we pray that in this 30th year, you will make us to grow stronger. In the mighty name of Jesus. Our strength is in discipleship, but we have neglected it for so long. We have reduced it to programs. We have reduced it to following, sustaining ourselves. But Lord, we pray that you will revive us, that will begin to bring souls to your kingdom. We begin to disciple souls. Lord, we pray that will add to us souls that will stay, souls that will last, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we bless and appreciate you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Where it sends me, I will follow. Where it sends me.